I have been so incredibly excited about what God is doing in our midst and how he's been working and moving. And, you know, the only real difference that I see is that God inspired within me a desire, a hope, a drive to focus on him. To make Jesus that household name that we focus on, that we look at, that we remember, and clinging to the promise where it says, if Jesus be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. I love how he has me reading scripture as of recent, and I used to read it as the Bible. Now, you're going, so what's the big deal about that? I just read it as the Bible. I read it like it was the stories that God had put there for us to read and to learn and to grow by. But I've actually just, I got so convicted that I was looking at this more as a story than actual history. And so as I've been reading the Bible and looking at the Word and understanding this is a part of our heritage, this is a part of history, this is God's Word, not a writing of fiction, not just the self-help, but actual history. So as I look at it that way, I understand that as St. Paul went into Rome and edified the church, as the church there began to grow, and I can look at it differently. And the story that we want to look at this morning, we'll get to in just a few minutes. We'll leave this slide up. But in just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and second verses. But Paul is engaging with a church that is forming in Rome. The Roman Christians and the Christians that are at Rome. And as goes with any city, there are multiple cultures and multiple groups that gather in that big city. And one of my favorite things that I love about Seattle is the diversity and the cultural mix and all of the flavors of the world are here. And when I was in Canada, it was always exciting to go to Edmonton, because Edmonton had very much a Seattle flair, where people from everywhere around the world were gathering there. And one of the Church of God largest congregations in Canada, north of the border, it's in Edmonton. And that pastor there was my mentor for several years, and I had opportunity to meet with him. But the celebration of diversity, Paul is writing in here to the church, encouraging them not to conform to the ways of the world. Now, he's writing to them because it's a lot like Seattle. You can go downtown and experience a multitude of different faiths and backgrounds, religions, cultures, expressions of that. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to go downtown to experience that. Most of us have that right in our own communities. And again, I think that's awesome. I love that. But there's a danger with that, that we will not follow after the way of Christ, but the things that look fun, the things that look enticing, the things that look engaging, we as people will be drawn to those. And Paul is writing to the church saying to those who were drawn to other cultures and other forms of worship, he's writing to them and encouraging them, urging them not to conform. God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a way for you. He has a way for Fairview. I love the fact that I believe God is defining Fairview and redefining her as a group in a specific way, where we are not going to be like anybody else. I love that. I want to be in that niche that God has called us to be in, where we are living examples, where we as God's people are sacrificing who we are so that he can become who he is in us. If I nutshelled my entire sermon, it would be that. Sacrifice yourself so that Christ can become who he wants to be in you. The gospel will spread like wildfire. You will be part of an amazing move, a shift in your community, in your culture, in Seattle. I'm excited that God still calls us not to conform to the ways of this world, but to conform to him and his will. I just heard TED Talk just recently a story, and if you're reading the other part of your bulletin or have already read it, I quoted it there, and the saying just was brief. It says, if it's not worth dying for, it's not worth living for either. And I thought about that, and I was reminded, I've heard that over and over throughout my life. If you can't die for it, it's not worth living for. And I was challenged this week. I was really challenged this week to look at my life and ask, am I willing to die for this faith, this life that I'm called to live? It went so beyond. We're going to talk next week about the persecuted church. And I was drawn so far beyond just physical death. Am I willing to die for that? And the honest answer is, I don't know. I mean, I'm just being completely honest with you. If somebody put a gun in front of me and said, recant your faith or die, I can honestly say I've never been in that situation before. I've never experienced what I would experience. And so I would like to say I would be willing to die. But because I've never been there and I've never faced that, I couldn't honestly say, yes, pull the trigger, because I will not relent. I will not recant. I don't know. But what I can say in this life is that I love Jesus, and I am willing to sacrifice right here, right now, for him. Multiple times throughout my life, multiple times throughout your life, you have been called upon to give something up in order for him to become more in your life, or that he can do something beyond you, and you have been faithful to sacrifice who you are in many times. I can honestly say that it's not always been exciting to do that. Sometimes it's been painful. But I am determined that while I face the obstacles of right here and right now, I will live a life yielded, sacrificed to him so that he may become what he wants to be in me. You've been looking in your notes page in the bulletin, and you've been seeing that Seattle Light header, and you've been getting blog posts each week. In the upcoming weeks, we have these for you. And thanks to Sheila, she created and got these online for us. It's a reminder. It just basically, it's Seattle-Light. It reminds me every time that I look at it, every time that I fidget with it, every time that I turn it around, every time that I get into the shower and that's the only thing left on, it reminds me to observe that I am the light of Christ. I am a part of a city set on a hill. And so I'm going to be able to distribute these to you, and we actually think we even got them in sea hockey colors. So they're going to match. They're going to match most of our dress and that. But it's a reminder that I am a light, that I am not to conform to the way of this world, but that I am to yield my life as a sacrifice unto Christ so that he may live his life through me, so that through me the world can know him, so that through me the world can be illuminated, so that through me people can come to him, not of me, just a vessel, just the container, just that person that he will use and work through. In our text this morning, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I actually went back. So if you're in the NIV this morning and you're used to me maybe going progressive and modern day and reading out of the message, today I'm actually going backwards. And I'm going to read our text this morning, and you can follow along on the screen out of the King James Version, where St. Paul says to the church at Rome, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is that is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God." Would you pray with me this morning? Amazing God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the text that we had opportunity to look at. And Lord, I pray that you would allow that to permeate our hearts, to sink in. Lord, this week, remind us of this. And let us know as we live this life, we actually become more powerful than what we are currently, that we actually become more in tune with the directive and the mission that you've placed before us. We actually become a greater MVP. And as we go out into this world, God, you bless us with the ability to shine Jesus, to live Jesus bright in this world. And so, God, I pray that you would apply this text to our hearts, to our minds, to our hands today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to look at five areas that this text, and if you do go forward, if we go to that next slide, if you do go forward and get a little more progressive and you look at the Message version, the Message actually clarifies or distinctively states five different areas of life that need to be sacrificed or yielded to the Spirit of God for him to actively live out through us. The very first one that the Message puts into context for us is in our every, or not in our everyday, we'll get to that, in the absolute clarity of who we are. Now, I'm excited to, over the last couple years, I was actually thinking, wow, it's 2.5 years about since we got here to Seattle, and soon coming on our third anniversary in the next summer, and it's just, time is just racing by, and you're getting to know me more, and I'm getting to know you more. And in our life, Paul writes to the Christian and says, you have to allow the Spirit of God to use you in who you are. I had opportunity to speak down at Maple Leaf Memory Care and Assisted Living this past week, and I talked to them when I first went into ministry, when I first started preaching, and this was 35 years ago, dates me a little bit, but 35 years ago, my online at that time, which meant AM radio, for most of you, that was how we got any kind of national sermon, or the mega church of that day was broadcast on the radio. And so for me, it was Andy Stanley's dad, Charles. And not only did I get to listen to Charles Stanley, but early on Sunday morning, most television stations showed a message, and Charles Stanley, usually from his church in Florida, normally was on, and so I got to watch that. And so my first few sermons, I excruciatingly tried to be just like Charles. And it was so bad that people that I was speaking to actually said, "You're not being you. You have to talk like you talk every day. You have to tell the stories that you tell every day. You have to be relevant just like you were talking to me on the street on Monday. Don't try and be somebody else. You have to be you." And when I actually allowed the Spirit of God to use me, I was pleasantly surprised and pleased that the ability to speak became less excruciating. That's why it's so important to know your story. Some of you are paranoid of public speaking. Some of you are paranoid that if you have to get up in front of somebody and talk, that it'll just be a mess. Here's how you do it. Here's how you need to process and think about that. When opportunity comes for me to speak in front of a group of people, I need to have my story ready, the story of how Jesus Christ changed my life, how he effectively came into my life and changed my everyday life. The next slide I was sharing, this is probably my favorite picture out of all the slides that I'm going to show you today. This is probably my favorite one because in the message, the second thing is honoring and sacrificing to God in your sleep. And I really began to think, so do I have to stay up all the time and not sleep? How does sleep actually even apply to the context of this message? And I began to think about a problem that is widespread, and that is insomnia. We can call this little guy holding those eyes wide open insomnia. Now, I understand that there are medical issues that go with this as well, and so it may not be just as simple for you as what I'm about to say, because I know the depth of some of this. But in most cases, and I think you could agree with me, the inability to sleep comes by us not fully trusting God with the issues that we face. So when we lay down at night, we're rehearsing, we're going over, we're panicked, we're fearful of what could happen or might happen or what did happen. And so instead of being able to lay down and go to sleep, we are bombarded by these little visions and these little thoughts that just keep us from sleep. And again, I'm not saying for everybody across the board, it is this simple. I'm saying, though, I believe that most of our inability to go to sleep comes because we're not turning our life issues over to Jesus Christ. I believe that we're not coming to him and saying, "At your feet, I lay this down. At your feet, I offer this. Now that I know that my best friend in this entire world has it handled, I can rest. I can put it out of my mind and understand that when I wake up in the morning, I can pursue him and whatever answer that he has." In the message, it says that we would pursue him with our everyday life, with our sleeping, and with our eating. Now, I love the fact that my wife and I, wherever we go, most always, there are those times that we haven't, but most always, whenever we're together and we go out to eat, we pray together. At our house, we get a good snuggle up in front of the stove before we dish out our meal, and we kind of hug close and we pray. Now, is it absolutely a necessity that you pray before every meal? Is that what I'm talking about? No. I think Paul is reminding us that we need to be thankful at every occasion, that every point of our day, we need to be mindful. I think we get so focused on our rub-a-dub-dub thanks for the grub prayers, that we forget that it's really a call to embrace him and to be thankful for his provision, not just for the food, but for our very lives. It's that time during the day when Christians are called to prayer and reminded to pray. It's that focus time where we're sitting at the table and we can bow our head. And even traditionally, even when we do it in a restaurant and a server is way quicker than what we think they'll be, most times we can hear them come up. But we don't normally race through our prayer, and normally they respect that moment, that time that we are taking to pray. I've never had occasion where somebody has walked up and said, "Hey, quit your praying. I'm here to pour you some more coffee. And quit that. I need to take your order." In fact, any of the time that there has been any disruption, they have been so incredibly apologetic that it's almost soupy and sappy. Think about this. God calls you to be thankful. I don't think there's any better time that you can focus intently on being grateful for more than just the meal that is set before you than at those three meals a day when you can focus and say, "God, thank you. Thank you." Part of living a sacrificed life, part of not conforming to this world, is encouraging knowing him more. So in that eating, the next place is at your work. Now, this picture shows a guy that is being gossiped about. That's actually the backstory behind that. So the whole message could center around, it doesn't matter if I'm persecuted or if they're making fun of me or if they're talking about me, I'm still going to live a Christ life. I'm still going to be a Seattle light. I'm still going to live Jesus bright. But I actually was challenged and more drawn to the collective, the group of people that are attacking him, than I was to that singular person. Because as a leader, it's so easy to rally troops and gossip and talk about, belittle, degrade, stir things up. I actually saw myself more in that crowd. Not that I do that, but that I need to guard against that. I need to live like Jesus. I need to come to the rescue. If I was one of those three, I should be the one that's saying, "Hey, we're not going there. We're not doing that. We need to be in prayer or be thankful," or, yeah, we just don't need to be a gossip. In the third place that Paul writes about in the message is you're walking, and this is how the message cites it. You're walking around life. So if we look at that next slide, see, who I am and how I live can be two different things. There are people that probably you have known that we have assumed because of their lifestyle or their life that they are one thing, only later to find out that they're not really what they appeared to be. So Paul is saying who you are needs to be transformed. You need to sacrifice sleep, food. You need to sacrifice at work. You need to be committed to him. But this last thing that he talks about is you're walking around life. Now, enjoy life is what that says, if you didn't catch that, and I'm sure that you did, but you know. Sometimes I see those puzzles or those pictures and, you know, it's as clear to everybody else as day and night, but not to me. So when I looked at this, I thought, enjoy life. Enjoy life. I love life. I love life. Most of you always receive that greeting when you ask me how I'm doing. Fantastic. Marvelous. I love life. I love greeting. I love being a part of the people process. I love that. But even though that's what you see, that might be the reputation in which I live. I could be totally different from that. You know what it's like. One of my favorite all-time television shows, and again, this will date me, and some of you youngers won't remember this, but it was a TV show called The Pretender, where Scott Bakula could become anybody, and he actually lived out a life as a pretender and never actually was the person that he pretended to be. Paul's writing to the church and saying, don't let your reputation be marred. I like my reputation. Not that it's great. I mean, not that it's, yeah. Let me just clarify. It's not superhero status. Let's clarify that. But I love who I am. In your Lifestyle 7 this week, I ask you to name, for the group conversation, for the group side, I ask you to name that one characteristic about you, that one favorite thing about you and why, and then to ask a couple people around you, what is the best characteristic or quality that you see in me? Now I know, it's quiet. That's a scary, scary, scary thing. But one of my favorite things in life, in my walking around life, in my socializing life, is when somebody comes up and tells me something about me that just is on target of to who I want to be. That's one of the favorite things. I had somebody on Friday night come up to me and say something about me. Now, it wasn't that moment to go, oh, thank you, I'm so humble, and you know. It was like, wow, I so much appreciate that you see that in me. I think that God has blessed me in that area, and for you to confirm it by acknowledging that you see that in me is a huge blessing. It allows me to know that I don't just think I'm living the way that God wants me to live, but somebody actually is in agreement with it. Somebody actually is seeing that. I want to sacrifice my life in such a manner that the stories that are told about me, when I hear them, will actually be a blessing and a confirmation that I am who he wants me to be. Not who I want to be, not who I've determined to be, but that Jesus is living in me. And people see that and they acknowledge that. How you live. Remember this? I've been saying it over and over. How you live speaks louder than your talk. How you live will speak way more than the words that you say. The last picture that we have to look at this morning is more than a conqueror through Jesus. I absolutely love the fact and history shows and tells that through Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. More than the mind can imagine. More than I can dream or think. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus. Through him. I want to end kind of in that same question, in that same vein in which I started. When you think about Jesus, would you be willing to die for him? More than just physical, would you be willing to die to self so that he can become more of him in you. It'll take a commitment. It'll be an everyday challenge. It'll be the fight of your life. But I guarantee you this, as you seek him, as you pursue him, as you chase after him, he will show himself pure and clear to you, and you will understand that you can say with confidence the same thing that your pastor just said. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. I am victorious.